Sunday Tama Talk.
Happy day, listeners. This is another Sunday morning Tama Talk with Dr. Prat Rajan Wisit, the revered abbot of Wat Lung Poso Thammakayaram in Damnern Sedok district of Ratburi Province, Thailand. I'm Prakru Bhairika Dr. Barton Yanatiro from the United States, and I will serve as interviewer. Venerable Dr. Prat Rajan Wisit is one of Thailand's most renowned meditation masters and Buddhist scholars, dedicated to revitalizing Buddhism with equal emphasis on scripture study and meditation practice. He has led Wat Lung Poso to become a center of excellence in both, and now serves as national coordinator of provincial meditation centers throughout Thailand. Welcome, Venerable Dr. Prat Rajan Wisit. This is our 15th Sunday Tama Talk. We are in the midst of examining Lord Buddha's precepts for avoiding evil and doing good. We began by considering dana, or generosity and sacrifice. Last time we reflected on the first two of the five precepts, to avoid killing and stealing. Today we shall contemplate the remaining three precepts, to avoid improper sex, lying, and intoxicants. Could you please begin by reviewing briefly what we covered last time?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's nice to be back with you again. The five precepts are based on Lord Buddha's transcendental wisdom, achieved on Enlightenment Night. They are designed to avoid the five most common reasons for rebirth into the suffering world. Last time we examined the first two of the five precepts, to avoid intentional killing other living beings and to avoid stealing or cheating. We found that intentional killing is common and even institutionalized in various occupations, such as raising animals for slaughter and fishing. Refraining from killing should be based on the sympathy to know that it causes the ultimate suffering of death. We ourselves cling to life with all our being. We should recognize that other beings feel the same way. This is the divine abode, or Brahma Vihara mentality, of loving-kindness or metta, compassion or karuna, sympathetic joint mudita, and equanimity upekha. A common consequence of killing is a blood feud that can continue over many lifetimes. The story of Kala Yakini, told in the Dhammapada chapter 1, number 4, recounts how two wives repeatedly kill each other's children over a series of lifetimes until Lord Buddha made peace between them. The lesson is that hatred never ceases through hatred, only through love. Murderers can also be killed in return. Then they will be reborn in hell for a very, very long time. And when they are finally reborn as human, they will be killed again. They generally have very short lifetimes and are often weak or ill, or they may meet with disasters and become lame or lose a limb or even die. This is the law of karma. Those who meditate to high levels can see this. Regarding the second precept, to avoid theft, the dana and Brahma Vihara provide an even broader perspective. More important than avoiding isolated unwholesome acts is abstaining from improper livelihood, which engages one in harmful activities on a daily basis. Wrong occupations include production, selling, or distribution of poisonous weapons or equipment for killing other beings, ranging from traps and fishing lines up to missiles and atomic bombs, as well as production, distribution, or selling of drugs or alcohol products that cause addiction. Another wrong occupation is raising animals for slaughter. These animals die, vowing revenge. This can lead to war when they are later reborn as humans. War is not usually based on rational reasoning. For example, in Cambodia, there was a big lake with lots of fish. People killed the fish en masse, and the fish died, vowing revenge. Later, when they came back as humans, they slaughtered to kill others without any reasons, like the Khmer Rouge.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pratrajanwisa. Now, what about the third precept to avoid improper sex?
The third precept is usually translated as I undertake the precepts to refrain from wrongful sexual activity. Most specifically, this means intentional adultery. It occurs due to one's failure to control sexual feelings with the sense organs come in contact with arousing stimuli. When one fails to control and carefully calm down sensual desires, it allows the mind to become more and more dominated by lust or raka and sexual passion. Then, the mind seeks to feel better by stirring up the emotions in many different ways. The mind can be agitated with many sensual objects, for example, X-rated movies and TV shows and nightclubs are designed to augment sexual desire. When the mind is overcome by lust, the individual loses morality, or sila, shame, hiri, and dread of consequences, otapa. This leads to committing adultery and other immoral sexual acts. Adultery includes same-sex relationships. Such acts lead to both personal and social problems. In personal life, they waste time and money on useless activities of no advantage. Uncontrolled nightlife can also interfere with alertness and creativity at work. Worse are the dangers to physical health, such as contagious disease and especially HIV. Uncontrolled lust leads to many problems in social life. It can lead to crimes such as attacks due to jealousy. Similarly, those who are fond of going out to sensual entertainment will naturally meet with many criminal events. Most profound are problems caused in family life, such as quarrels with spouse. It will cause the family life to be not as warm and loving as it should be, and can lead to a broken home and separation. Even worse are the effects on the children. This violation causes big social problems, even into the next generation, because it also results in children being born out of wedlock, and the children suffer psychological problems from lack of loving, loyal parents. Thus, they may grow up as disobedient delinquents and go astray, following the parents' example, seeking boyfriend-girlfriend relationships or other sexual relationships outside the family, with those who are not firm in good conduct. This is very much what we see in our present social reality. Thus, such behavior is passed on to the next generation. In general, it causes bigger and bigger social problems and results in the government and society having to spend large sums of money trying to cope with these social and family problems, such as divorce, offense, prostitution, criminal behavior around bars, and international pornography over the internet. Governments don't deal with the underlying cause, which is adultery or improper sexual behavior due to uncontrolled lust. Such improper deeds are caused by ignorance or lack of knowledge of the natural law of karma, which shows that they inevitably lead to dire consequences, both in this lifetime and the future. They just try to alleviate the manifold predicaments that arise from it. When dying, those who have committed adultery are reborn either in hell or as hungry ghosts, or in the animal world for a long time. For example, in the scripture, women who acted like butterflies were reborn as hungry ghosts, with no skin, just covered with sores. After eventually returning to the human world, the remaining karma results in becoming a prostitute for up to 100 lifetimes. Afterward, the person may become a homosexual or sterile female for many lifetimes. Even though societies accept homosexuality, it is still bad karma. Next, the person becomes born as a normal woman. Any time that the person commits adultery during this long process, the process starts just over again. If the normal woman is loyal to her husband, she will be reborn as a man. On the positive side, those who avoid adultery and are satisfied with their own spouse will help to protect the family and solve the social problems. Any society that is wise should campaign on being careful in sensuous affairs and not letting lust dominate. By practicing sila and samadhi, this means right action and right livelihood. Right livelihood here means not to engage in any aspect of the sex industry, including not only prostitution, but also nightclubs. So in conclusion, one must be very careful in sensual affairs. The wise person who knows the law of karma will stop such bad conduct. If one is married, one should be honest and loyal to one's spouse, avoiding adultery or carelessness due to lust.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pratrajan Wisit. And now what about the fourth precept to avoid lying?
The fourth precept is usually translated as to avoid improper speech. Most broadly, this has four components: to avoid lying such as deception, to avoid harsh language such as cursing, to avoid divisive speech such as scandal bearing, and to avoid useless speech such as gossip. The focus, however, is always on lying. The last category, useless speech, also includes spreading wrong teachings or mithya vacha, which lead people astray. This is a very serious offense, which can cause rebirth in the lowest lokanta, hell, outside the universe. For example, some teach that killing members of other religions will bring one close to God. This is a very, very evil misconception. We must all be very careful to avoid spreading such false ideas. In most consumer society, selling with ads designed to mislead the purchaser has become a higher paying profession located near the core of modern business. In turn, many individuals feel it's okay to cheat large impersonal organizations like governments on things like income taxes or customs duties. In the present lifetime, lying, deceitfulness, dishonesty, and double dealing cause one to earn a reputation as an unreliable person. This engenders lack of trust and results in fewer and fewer good friends, close colleagues, and loving partners in both work and social life. Due to lack of trust, one will miss out on promotion, and remain in the lower classes of society with dishonor. After death, they will be reborn into hell for a very long time. Eventually, this being returns to the human world, but has a very, very bad smell mouth. Those who avoid wrong speech will be more trusted by society. Their speech will be more reliable, polite, sociable, and useful. Thus, the wise person should give up wrong speech.
Thank you again, Venerable Sir. Finally, what can you tell us about the fifth precept to avoid intoxicants?
The fifth precept to refrain from intoxicating drinks and drugs, which lead to carelessness, is perhaps the most important of all, because when mindfulness is dulled by such intoxicants, one may also break all the other precepts. Drugs include cocaine, opium, marijuana, amphetamines, sexual stimulants, and cigarettes. Alcoholic drinks include brandy, whiskey, liquors, champagne, beer, and wine. It is addiction to these drinks and drugs which is the ultimate culprit. But one must always maintain extremely sharp watchfulness very carefully, because restraint becomes blunted from the very beginning. Addiction to intoxicants causes rapid deterioration of both physical and mental health. Disabilities can range from sclerosis of the liver to delirium tremens. Addictions also lead to catastrophic social consequences, such as loss of employment, marital separation and divorce, and potentially homelessness. Even when families stay together, addiction behavioral tendencies are usually instilled from the parents into the children. Physically, some take alcohol to stimulate the sex drive. In fact, it lowers self-control, releasing inhibitions, but also worsens performance. Others take alcohol with a meal as a digestive. This can lead to eating more, upsetting the stomach, gas, and weakening of the internal organs. Over time, the body grows feeble and open to disease. Mentally, alcohol dulls the thinking process and slows down reaction time. We are all familiar with its dangerous effects on drivers. The same thing applies at work. Addiction can lead to inability to hold a job and a lower economic state for the individual, the family, and the society. We have all heard the performers who begin by taking a little nip to prepare themselves before going on stage, but end up addicted and physically deteriorated to the point where they can no longer perform, sometimes even dying after death. Addicts are reborn in hell and stay there for thousands of lifetimes. When they ultimately return to the human world, they will be insane for many lifetimes. Even after being born sane, they will continue to be forgetful. Societies worldwide have accepted drinking alcohol as normal, and it is everywhere incorporated into social ceremonies. This abates addiction and contributes to myriad social defects. Societies and governments end up spending millions trying to cope with the resultant problems, such as alcoholism, broken homes, orphans, poverty, and social welfare. Even criminal problems like the drug traffic are related in and governments must demand and deploy more and more weapons to deal with these. Today, drug traffic is a major source of financing for the international terrorism, which is a major global problem. all these funds which could be devoted to development are wasted without any advantage. Just to try to protect society, governments, societies, and the world community become weaker and weaker. In conclusion, the key to overcome lust, cheating, and intoxication lies in heightened individual responsibility and the corresponding constant mindfulness to guard against inappropriate behavior. This can be developed through propagating Buddhist ethics, which emphasize individual responsibilities in accordance with the natural law of karma. Do good, get good. Do evil, get evil. Teaching ethics is good, but it is seeing yourself through meditation, which leaves an indelible impact with the strength to successfully counter the impetus for lust, cheating, and intoxication.
Well, sir, you certainly have given us something to think about. Thank you very, very much. And now, Dr. Pratrajan Wisit, I would like to ask you to lead us in a few moments of meditation.
All right, we sit upright in a regular meditation posture, cross-legged, as seen in some Buddha images, with the right leg resting upon the left. The right hand rests on the left, palms turn upwards, with the right index finger just touching the left thumb. The body is straight, and the mind is fully alert. Take deep breath and relax the body until you feel comfortable. Close your eyelids lightly, do not press them. We use two aids, a mantra, Samma Arahang, and an object of visualization, a bright, clear, luminous sphere called the Aloka Kasinya, or light object. Using these aids, we draw the mind inward to the center of the body, and the mind components of vision, memory, thought, and awareness come together into oneness. Imagine a bright, clear, luminous sphere located at the center of the body, 2 inches or 5 centimeters above the navel. Rest your mind inside the sphere and repeat Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang, Samma Arahang continually and mindfully. Look for the pinpoint of bright light at the center of the center. Focus your mind there. Stop still. When the mind stops perfectly still at the center of the center expands itself and becomes a new sphere. Place your mind gently inside the new sphere. Look for a pinpoint of bright light at the center of the center. Place your mind there. Stop still. Eventually, a bright, clear sphere will arise. This is the Dhamma sphere. Do not be overjoyed. Keep your mind calm in equanimity. Hold the mind still and stop repeating Samma Arahang. Just concentrate at the center of Dhamma sphere. This is your own nucleus which gives rise to this body and this mind. You choose to experience the greatest happiness you have ever known, not happiness based on an external object, but the happiness arising from within. Due to being fully pure from the 5 hindrances, continue meditating as before by stopping still at the center of the Dhamma sphere. When the concentration is just right, sphere after sphere pops up by itself from the center, each one inside the previous one. The sphere of sila or moral behavior, samadhi or concentration, panya or wisdom, vimut or transcendence, and vimuttiyan tasana or insight appear one after the next. Enter each sphere successively and focus your mind still at the pinpoint of the bright light or hollow spot at the center. When the mind stops still, a new sphere emerges. When you reach the inside sphere, you continue in the same way. stopping still at the center. Again, the center expands itself. But this time, instead of a new sphere, you see your own refined human body, sitting cross-legged in meditation position, facing the same direction as you are facing. Don't be startled. Just keep observing. It looks very much like you yourself. It has your own face, but it is brighter, purer, and more radiant. It may even be crystal clear. Take your time to make the body and its pedestal bright and clear. When you feel comfortable with the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the refined human body. Expand to feel the whole body. Feel the body from the inside. Feel the arms, feel the legs. Feel the head, feel the toes. Saying to yourself, I am the refined human body. I have become the refined human body. I have the refined human mentality. When you feel comfortable inside the refined human body, place your mind gently inside the sphere at the center of the refined human body. Focus on pinpoint of bright light at the center of the center. The center expands itself, and you see your celestial body. For those who reach this state of mind, go on with the same procedure. As larger and larger, more and more radiant bodies appear, becoming each more refined body, one by one, until you reach Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya looks like a transparent Buddha statue, very radiant, very pure. The Buddha statue, sitting cross-legged, is about 9 meters in height and width. Become Dhammakaya fully, right away. You will find this state of mind the purest and the best happiness that you have ever experienced. And now, let us share all of the merit that we have made in this meditation and previously. Together with all of our loving kindness, with all beings everywhere throughout the universe, we share with our parents, our grandparents, our family, our teachers and our friends. We share with our king and our queen and the whole royal family. May Lord Buddha bless all of us to lead a peacefully happy life, free from suffering, free from problems, and free from enmity. And may this meditation help to bring us closer to transcendence and nirvana. And now, we come slowly out of meditation and open the eyes.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Rajan Wisit. We reverently appreciate your exceptional meditation instruction.
May Lord Buddha bless all of you. We would like to invite all of you to join us for meditation at Wat Luang Phosot. Any Sunday, our bus leaves from Watsaket, the Golden Mountain Temple, at 7 o'clock. Every Sunday morning, I lead morning chanting and meditation for all, beginning at 9:30, and Prabhat conducts an afternoon meditation session in English from 12 to 2 p.m. Please come join us. For details, please see our English website at www.meditationpark.org or en.dhammakaya.org or our Thai website at dhammakaya.org.
Sunday Dhamma Talk.